He died so that we can have lives of purpose. I've told you before that one of my favorite movies, maybe my favorite movie of all time, is The Greatest Showman. And the reason that speaks to me is not just simply because of the good music and the dancing and the good storyline, but because it is a movie where every character in that movie finds purpose for their life, whether they are born with dwarfism, whether they are born and have what they call the dog boy disease, whether they are fat, whether they are of mixed race, whether they are a bearded female, whether they're just stupid, like P.T. Barnum was in the film, there is a purpose, a comeback story, a regeneration, a resurrection, a rising from the ashes, if you will, to find peace and family and comfort and success and hope. And that's what we're here to celebrate today. Unfortunately, sometimes Resurrection Sunday gets confused with Easter. And Resurrection Sunday and Easter are very different. You see, Resurrection Sunday is about Jesus Christ. We've convoluted that by adding Easter into that. And with Easter comes this giant male Easter bunny who lays, apparently, and delivers colored eggs. First of all, rabbits don't lay eggs. And second of all, they're certainly not colored. And so we've kind of got our wires crossed here. But let's be clear about what today is about. Today is about the comeback story of history. It is the comeback story of all eternity. Jesus was dead and he is alive again. Jesus himself in John chapter 11 that you heard Ray read about earlier says that he is the resurrection. And that because he is the resurrection, he is also the life. It's not the first time he's told us that. In the story in John chapter 11, Jesus had already been told that his friend Lazarus was going to die. And Jesus is like, cool, I'll be there when I can. You would think he's being coy, but he's not. He's setting the scene for him to make this statement. And in John chapter 11, we read these words. When Jesus arrived at Bethany, he was told that Lazarus had already been in the grave 4 days. Bethany was only a few miles down the road from Jerusalem, so it wouldn't have been hard for Jesus to get from where he was to where Lazarus was in order to intervene. But Jesus is like, chill, fellas, I got another plan. Many of the people had come to console Mary and Martha in their loss, and when Martha got that Jesus was coming, she went to meet him. But Mary stayed in the house, and Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if only you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that God will give you whatever you ask. And Jesus told her, your brother will rise again. Yes, Martha said, he will rise again when everyone rises at the last day. And Jesus told her, but I'm the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live even after dying. Now, I want you to pay special attention to verse 26. Look at it. Underline it in your text, if you will. Everyone who lives in me and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this, Martha? He asked. Yes, Lord, she told him. I've always believed that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one who has come into the world from God. Let's take a few minutes this resurrection morning and look at 4 different things that happen here. First, we're going to talk about the statement, then we'll talk about the claim, then we'll talk about the question, and then we'll talk about the declaration. First is the statement. Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. The Bible teaches us many important things about life and death and life after death. You were born and you live and you die. And we learn that our soul spends eternity in one of 2 places. Jesus told the thief on the cross that today you will be with me in paradise. And so when we die, our soul can go to paradise. Other places in the New Testament we learn and we read that the soul that dies without Christ winds up in a place that is separated from God. It is dark and full of despair. There are no good things there. It is a place called hell or Gehenna. It is a place of eternal flame. It is a place where there is weeping and there is gnashing of teeth and there is suffering. You were created to live forever, and you're going to either live with Him or you're going to live without Him. And the choice is entirely up to you. This is why Jesus makes this statement, and He makes it abundantly clear. If you want resurrection life, then I am resurrection and I am the life. Not only is this a claim to His deity, He's not just saying I'm biblically significant. He's claiming here to be God. But more importantly, He's claiming to have the answers to your deepest questions. Is there life after death? Is there hope beyond the grave? How can I possibly know that I might be going to heaven? Jesus says, well, yeah. All of these things are possible because I am the resurrection and I am the life. And I am fixing to show you, not only through Lazarus, but I'm fixing to show you in a few days through my own resurrection what that looks like. Hang on, because I'm fixing to knock your socks off, he's saying. Jesus isn't saying that Christianity is a teaching that shows you the way of life. He's not saying that there are doctrines and dogmas that teach us the path to make it to heaven one day. He transforms the principles of these things and He makes them very personable. This is not about a pathway or a principle or a doctrine. This is about a person, and that person is Jesus Christ. Look, when you're sick, you want the doctor. You don't want the medical book. When you're being sued, you want the lawyer. You don't want the law book. When you're hungry, you want the food, not the menu. Right? Jesus says, I'm the doctor. I'm the lawyer. I'm the meal. Every doctrine is made personal here. He doesn't just offer life. He doesn't just promise resurrection. He says, I am life. Because I am resurrection. And because I am all of those things, no matter what's going on in your world, no matter how bad you feel like life is coming at you, I have overcome every single thing that can happen to you. Virus, I can overcome that. Economy, I can overcome that. Whatever comes at you, I can overcome that. Because I'm the resurrection. I'm the life. Jesus isn't promising that He will one day rise from the dead. He's promising that because He has conquered death and the grave, that we can conquer death and the grave as well. He is life. He conquered death. He is resurrection. He conquered the grave. Read an article a couple weeks ago that some fingers, some bones from the fingers of the Buddha were actually given as a gift to the Emperor of China in the Tang Dynasty several hundred years ago. Those bones were rediscovered in some archival things in China in 1981. And they're now on display at one of the shrines in China. And many Buddhists go and they worship these finger bones that belonged to the Buddha. There's no place for us to go and worship the Jesus bones because they're not here. In Luke chapter 24, verse 6, the angel said, He is not here. He is risen. Jesus makes the statement, I am the resurrection and I am the life. But attached to that, there's this claim that we talked about in verse 26. And I want you to sear the claim into your heart this morning. Jesus says, everyone who believes in me and lives in me will never die. It's a two-part claim. If you believe in me and if you live in me. The Bible says that the demons believe in Jesus also, and they tremble, and they tremble because they don't live in Him. I've been telling you for 2 decades now, you must believe in Jesus, but you must belong to Jesus. The demons believe and they tremble. He clarifies that in verse 26. The claim is that everyone who believes in me and lives in me will never die. Unfortunately, we are surrounded by a lot of people who believe in Jesus, but they don't live in Jesus. Because a life lived in Jesus looks very different than a person who just believes in Jesus. This is what the scripture backs up when it says, there will be evidences in your life about whether or not you really belong to Christ. If you're curious as to whether or not you belong to Christ, look to see if the evidences are there. How do you live? How do you love? How do you pray? Those are the people that will never die, at least the spiritual death. The Greek language is interesting here. In the Greek, it's a double negative, and the English doesn't translate it in a double negative just because it's way too complicated to do so. So when they write it out, they write it out in a way that makes sense to you and me. But you know what a double negative is, right? It's where you use two negatives in a statement to make a statement as true. I grew up in Louisiana. And double negatives are just part of the culture there. That won't do you no good. It's a double negative. I didn't steal nothing. Double negative. He ain't never told no lies. Double negative. We even hear it in the music that we listen to and in the classic rock that I listen to. I can't get no satisfaction. Double negative. We don't need no education. Double negative. I heard this one just not very long ago. The new disease wasn't non-infectious. Double negative. The new disease wasn't non-infectious, which really means it's infectious, right? So what Jesus is basically saying in the Greek language here is that if you believe in me, you ain't never going to die. If you believe in me, you ain't never going to die. Because I'm the resurrection and I'm the life. It seems illogical almost because we know that people die, right? I've done 2 funerals in the last 8 days, 9 days. I know that people die. He's not talking about the physical death. Ray read to you about the resurrection of Lazarus. He'd been dead 4 days. Ray was very polite when he read it to you, and he said, and he began to smell bad. The word is to stink, because that's what happens to dead bodies in the desert after 4 days. They stink. The decay had begun. The rot had set in. He was dead. And Jesus comes and he has them move the stone away and he says, Lazarus, come forth. And so Lazarus walks out. Read it. Says he's all wrapped up in this mummy stuff. Got a cloth over his face, probably bumping in the side of the cave on his way out. Take that stuff off of him. So understand this. Lazarus dead, he's stinking. Jesus comes in and goes, Lazarus, I'm going to breathe life back into you. You're going to get up. You're going to take the grave clothes off. You're going to live again. Is Lazarus still alive? No. Lazarus is dead. Why? Because we all die. We all die. But it is possible to live forever. Because you have a soul. You were created to live forever. And if you live in the claim of believing in me and living in me, you're not going to die. You will experience what he tells the thief on the cross is paradise. My favorite part about the whole paradise conversation with the thief on the cross is that when you get to the end of the book and you begin to read the book of Revelation, when you die here and you breathe your last breath on planet Earth, you breathe your first breath in paradise with Jesus Christ. And when you get to the end and you read the book of Revelation, it says paradise gets an upgrade. Because paradise goes from being in the presence of Jesus, wherever that is, and that sounds pretty good to me, but God the Father says you now get a new heaven and a new earth, and everything goes back to the created order as it was in the beginning. Only Jesus can upgrade paradise. And paradise gets an upgrade. But that's only probable or possible for everyone who believes in Him and lives in Him. This is the claim. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 6 through 8. We are always confident and know that as long as we're at home in this body, then we are away from the Lord. My soul can't be with Him while I'm here. I can have the Holy Spirit in me, and that can keep us connected, but it's just not the same. We live by faith and not by sight. We are confident, I say, and I would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. You will live forever. The question is, where are you going to live? The choice is up to you. And it all depends on what you do with the resurrected Christ. Because He's the resurrection and He is the life. Look at Hebrews chapter 9. Just as each person is destined to die once and after that comes the judgment, so also Christ died once for all time as a sacrifice to take away the sins of many people. He will come again, not to deal with our sins this time, but to bring salvation to all those who eagerly wait for Him. He's coming back someday. Some hour when we do not know, He's coming back. And He will take us to be with Him where He is. You may die before that. You may not. You may be alive when He comes. But if you believe in Him and live in Him, you're going to go with Him. He makes it personal. And He goes from His statement of I am the resurrection and the life to the claim that if you believe in Me, and if you live in Me, that you're going to live forever. And then He asks the question, and He says, Martha, do you believe this? Do you believe this? Because how she answers this question determines her eternal destiny. How you answer the question determines your eternal destiny. Do you believe that everyone who lives in Me and everyone who believes in Me will never die? You're here today on Easter because you have some type of faith or some type of belief system in Jesus Christ. Maybe you're convinced and have been for a long time. Maybe the claim of believing in Him and living in Him is no big deal for you because that's what you've done since you became a follower of Christ. Maybe you're here this morning because you believe in Him, but you've just really struggled living in Him. And so Jesus kind of helps you here. What do you believe? Do you believe the statement that everyone who lives in Me or who believes in Me and lives in Me will never die? And if you don't want to die the second death, I need you to not only believe in Me, but I need you to live in Me. This is the question. Do you believe this? We talked a couple weeks ago that Jesus also makes the claim that He alone is the way to heaven. In one of His Jesus on Jesus statements, He says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through Me. And then today He says, everyone who lives in Me and believes in Me will never die. Do you believe this? It's all about where you put your faith. It's all about where you put your trust. It's all about who you choose to believe in and belong to. It's all about who you choose to live for. If you believe and trust in politicians, you're going to get disappointment and death. If you believe and trust religion, you're going to get disappointment and death. If you believe and trust in your godly parents or godly grandparents, you're going to get disappointment and death. If you believe in your nation or your nationality, you're going to get disappointment and death. If you believe in your society or your culture or your earthly justice, you're going to get disappointment and death. If you believe in yourself and if you believe in your good works, you're going to get disappointment and death. Jesus said, if you believe in Me and if you live in Me, you get life. Do you believe this? And if you do, then live it. Live like you believe it. We like monuments to the dead. The pyramids of Egypt, Westminster Abbey, Muhammad's tomb in Mecca, the Taj Mahal, Arlington National Cemetery, honored resting places for people who lived magnificent lives. But the Garden Tomb is empty, and it's famous not because of who's dead there, but because who's not dead there. He is the resurrection. Do you believe this? With all of your heart, do you believe that He is the Son of God who takes away the sins of the world? With all of your heart, do you believe that He was crucified and rose again on the third day? Do you believe with all of your heart that He offers you salvation regardless of your past or your present or your future sin? Do you believe that He loves you enough to allow you to abide in Him? Because when you do, your reward is eternal life. We see in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men and women by which we must be saved. No politician, no historical figure, no law, no act, no decree, no hashtag movement. It is through Christ alone. And so this is the question. But you got to love Martha. Because Martha makes the declaration. And this is the declaration that we should make. It's the same declaration that Peter made. It's the same declaration that came out of God's mouth at Jesus' baptism. You are the Christ, the Son of God, she said. Verse 27, yes, Lord, she told Him, I believe that You are the Christ, the Son of God, who was to come into the world. After 400 years of prophecy, I believe You're the one who is coming. I believe You. I believe You are the Christ. Martha didn't hesitate to affirm her faith. It's beautiful the way she speaks this. She said, You are the Christ. She gave Him the name Christ, which is the Messiah. You are the Son of God. And in each of these, she also calls Him Lord. And when she uses the word Lord or Christ or the Son of God, she uses them in the perfect tense in the Greek. And the perfect tense in the Greek means that this is a settled statement. She's saying, I have believed that You are the Lord, the Christ, the Son of God. I do believe that You are the Lord, the Christ, the Son of God. I will always believe that You are the Lord, the Christ, the Son of God. It's a powerful statement that she makes. And the Lord was calling her to personally believe that He alone was the source of resurrection power and eternal life. Not just so her brother could be raised from the dead, but so that she too could someday be raised from the dead. We gathered here on Thursday night, and we took the Lord's Supper together because it was in the upper room where Jesus instituted that for His believers, knowing full well that He was going to be brutally murdered by experts in Roman torture and execution and crucifixion, knowing full well that He was going to be placed in a borrowed tomb, knowing full well that the disciples that were going to eat with Him that night would scatter, and one of them would even be responsible for His betrayal, and one of His closest friends would simply betray Him, deny Him. On Friday, it seemed that all hope was lost as He bowed His head, the Scripture says, and gave up the Spirit. Saturday passed. There was only sadness and death. But on Sunday morning, as they went to bring spices to the body, as it would have begun to stink by this time, they realized that the stone was rolled away and that the tomb was empty and that the angel made the declaration, He's not here. He's risen. He is the one you can believe in. And Martha made the declaration, You are the Christ, the Son of God. So let me ask you this morning, on this resurrection morning, do you know Him? Not just in a way that you believe in Him, but do you live in Him? Is he real to you? But not just is he real to you, is he relevant to you? The mark of our discipleship is not based on our proficiency in Christ. It doesn't matter how much we know about him or how much we think we know. Our discipleship and who we are is based on our proximity to Christ. How close to you are him? How close to you? How close are you to him? Are you at a place in your life where your future and your tomorrow has seemed uncertain? Could you find this morning a faith small like a mustard seed that says, Lord, I will live in you because I believe in you, because you are the resurrection. And it is through that power I will draw and live my life. That's your challenge on this Resurrection Sunday. I will call you to act. And so, would you stand? We're going to sing. If you'd like to come and talk to me about a reset in your life, if you'd like to come and talk to me this morning about beginning your comeback story, it's pretty simple. Just come take me by the hand and say, I need a restart. And you and I'll pray together and we'll take it from there. Father, we thank you that today gives us hope that our tomorrows can be better. May we understand and believe in the power of your resurrection. And may we know that we can have life if we will believe in you and if we will choose to live in you. Give us the courage and the tiny little seed of faith required to start that journey today, we pray. In your great big name, amen.